desert oasis where stories ignite. Skip's little bar, a beacon of light. From the Coachella Valley stars to cool everyday movers and shakers on the show. Join Patrick and Randy, let the stories flow. At Big Conversations, Little Bar, the magic spreads near and far. Presented on Mutual by the McCallum Theater, candid tales are shared. Nothing could make this sweeter.
Welcome to the center of the Coachella Valley universe. You've made it to Skip Page's Little Bar with Patrick Evans and Randy Florence. Get ready for another fun and story-filled episode of Big Conversations, Little Bar, presented by the McCallum Theater. Order tickets now by visiting McCallumTheater.org or call the box office at 760-340-2787. Now in their eighth season, here are your hosts, Patrick and Randy.
We are back here at the wonderful and highly coveted corner booth at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert, California for another edition of Big Conversations Little Bar, and my spiritual guru, my financial advisor, and...
You are so screwed. If you're depending on either one of those things for me, you are screwed.
No, when you told me you had transitioned to a plant-based diet, I've decided that maybe you're not my advisor.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the transition word that bothered you, but it was the plant-based diet.
No. I would support any transition you wish to make, Randy.
Thank you. I'm going to become Patrick Evans.
No, it's already taken, and you don't trust me. No, people have stolen my identity and then given it back. Not good.
My son asked me if he was adopted. I said, yeah, but they returned him, so we had to raise him.
We still had you. We want to give a shout out to our good friends at the McCallum Theater. They are our presenting sponsor of Big Conversations Little Bar. And I encourage you right now, the new season is on sale. It is available to you at McCallumTheater.org, and they've added a whole bunch of brand new stuff. But your favorites like Pink Martini are going to be returning as well. So you're going to get the ones that you love and some things that you will love, though you may not have experienced them previously. So check it out again, McCallumTheater.org. Randy, what's new with you? Anything exciting? I mean, I did mention you're doing this plant-based thing.
Yeah, I don't know how exciting that is. But
big into tofu?
Not yet. That's the one thing I have not
working on
dipped
it.
My toe into is tofu.
Well, I will tell you, since I had the heart attack and the stents put in, I really changed my diet. It's not plant-based. Well, that's not true. Because cows are made out of grass. That's what they eat. So they are plant-based as well.
Yeah.
So well, I still enjoy a burger from time to time.
Since I lost a lung, I cut my smoking in half. So.
All right. Without further ado, our guest today, and you've appeared in a movie with Steve, correct?
No, but I appeared in a movie because of Steve.
Because of Steve. Steve Cicerone is here. And did I say that correctly, Cicerone?
Cicerone. It's okay.
What should it be?
Cicerone.
Cicerone. When the guest says, that's okay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, close
like
enough.
Maybe we ought to get the real name.
Close. You know, one time Benedict Cumberbatch got really mad at me.
Yeah,
really? On the air for mispronouncing his name.
Oh, wow. Worse than Karen?
Oh, worse than Karen?
No way!
No, not as bad as Karen McCulkin.
He was kind of a dick that night.
Your lips to God's ears. He was completely. But it wasn't just to me. It was to everybody. No, I said. Accidentally, Benedict.
This is going to go really good, Steve.
Interesting.
Great. But so far, Steve is not as upset as Benedict Cumberbatch.
All my life, people have mispronounced my name. They spell it incorrectly, too. The first name, they spell incorrectly.
It's a nice Italian name. People should get this correct.
Actually, it's French.
It's French. Yeah. That's why I didn't get it right. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Steve Cicerone is here.
Yes.
And you're one of the most prolific working actors. You call the Valley home, but you're all over the place. You do so much stuff.
I like to think that I get a lot of work, and I do. I'm what you call a real working actor. Not a celebrity, but a working actor.
But you're very, very versatile. You do such different roles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think sometimes, like, you were kind of leaning into horror for a little bit. And you transition right out of that, and you do comedy, and you've been doing. I know you did the Hop Along Stugatz.
Oh, right, that was a comedy.
A bit of Sonny Velocity's work.
Yes, that's very true. I think originally I started in theater. My heart is in theater, but rehearsal time that takes a lot of time, and it conflicts with film. And so I started with the roles basically like the old Donna Reed or Doris Day type thing. We became brother, lawyer, doctor type of roles. And then I needed something more challenging. So I got into some more drama, crying roles and horror, which I like because I like playing a welcoming guy with a sinister agenda, because it's so far from me.
And horror's huge right now.
No, you're one of the nicest human beings.
And thank you for that. And I laugh a lot and have a good time. So for me, if I can be convincing in an evil way, that's challenging, and that means I succeeded. So I like that. And then I dabbled in comedy now, too, and found that enjoyable. So I like to do a little bit of everything.
Any preference, or you just like to work?
I think that's probably the bottom line.
Yeah.
I think my preference is actually the horror. I do. Although comedy's difficult, and I like to be challenged all the time, comedy's difficult. Your timing has to be right, and your improv has to be right, and has to match. But more challenging for me is the horror.
Well, I want to go all the way back, prior to you being a clinical psychologist and getting your graduate degree at UVA?
UVA.
Yeah. UVA.
You guys have something in common.
We're both Cavaliers.
Yeah.
He has a graduate degree, but I do not.
Well, but you're still a Cavalier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it still counts.
It does count.
Where were you born and raised?
So, New York City, basically. And there for quite a few years. Got married in Philadelphia, and then came out to L.A., didn't like L.A., and then moved to Palm Springs.
And did you come out to L.A. for acting?
Yeah, basically, because I was a psychologist for a little while, and then I decided that I was getting too sensitive to that, hearing a lot of the problems, and some people not wanting to help themselves and work with themselves and not taking their medications. So I felt really bad for them, and since I had a double major in college of theater and psychology, I figured maybe this psychology could help me, and it sure did.
Where did you do your undergraduate work?
Wagner College on Staten Island, New York, which is actually a theater school with a view of New York City.
You know, it's interesting. You are not the first actor on the podcast that has majored in psychology or sociology.
Oh, darn, I thought I was different.
Well, you are. Yeah, I don't want to take that away from you. But what do you think is...
You don't have to say it like that.
What?
Yeah,
you are.
God, right.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, you are.
Yeah, you're one of those. Is there something about that? Is it the understanding human nature?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably different for each person depending on what they studied. But I think, the patients, the internships that I've done, it gives you an understanding of the human nature, the human condition, and then you can understand characters better. And especially then blend that with the different types of acting techniques. I think I can portray a character pretty good.
You really get pretty deep inside the character.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
And that's my goal. You make, bring the richness and the fullness to a character, whether or not they are a good character or a bad character, and be able to bring it to life for everybody.
Did you come from a big family?
I did. Five kids, yeah. I don't think that happens anymore.
Anybody else take the same path that you took?
No, complete opposite. They're all shy. I'm like so outgoing, so completely different from all of them. They can't have me around because I'll talk to anybody.
Was the family supportive of the direction that you started going?
Yeah, my dad
going?
Liked me in the psychology, not
he
so
did.
Much the acting. Yet.
Yeah.
How long did you practice as a psychologist?
About 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so a while. I really tried because I do like helping people.
But did you just find at the end of the day you just...
Yeah, and then you go home to your wife and kids and you hear more complaining and more,
I
this
need
and
a psychologist,
that. So, okay, that's enough. I'm getting it 24 hours a day. I gotta go back into theater, which I started with, and then film.
Theater. When you came back to L.A., was that the first thing you got involved in?
Yeah, theater again. But I had already dabbled a little bit in film in New York, and I did Off-Broadway in New York, and so it was that and some film, but really hadn't hit it hard yet. And then when I got to L.A., I did more theater, and then got into film really big. But my intention was to get more into film.
When was the moment that you kind of knew... I'm good at this, and I can get jobs. This is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
I don't think I'm ever good at it, and I don't think I ever want to be so overly confident that I'm going to get, you know, smug about something. And that's why I continue to do acting classes. I think an actor should never stop and be still, because you can get too comfortable with yourself and then your acting is not as organic. So I don't think, like Viola Davis once said, I think they call it imposter syndrome. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I think it's a little bit of that. I may have that. Oh, my God, I got it. I went to a festival. I get a Best Actor Award. Did they make a mistake? Do they really want me? But that keeps me on my toes, anyway.
You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody this story on when we did the movie Perfect,
yeah.
P-Swift.
And you were so good.
Thank you again for your help on that. Just so I can, full disclosure here, Stephen was the casting director. And I didn't know what was going on because this was my first time. So I did my audition. I sent it in. And Steve calls and says, hey, good job. Hang in there. And a month later, Steve's going, hey, good job. Hang in there. And I'm thinking, and he's apologizing. I'm sorry this is taking so long.
I told him,
I said, this is my first time. I just assumed everything went like
this. That's probably why you didn't get mad at me.
I couldn't be too upset about it. But thank you for supporting me much in that one. But one of the things that came out of Perfect, and I've completely lost my story now because I was so enthralled with Steven being my casting director.
Well, that was fantastic.
Where was I going with that?
You're over 40 now, so that happens, right?
I'm way over 40, yeah.
He's over 40 twice.
Oh, I know what it was. It was about the early paranoia of being an actor. So the first day, they're doing all the shooting and everything, and I didn't really have anything on the call sheet for the first day. I was just supposed to be there next to the actors and being something for them to look at. But they did have me say my lines, but a couple of times I'd say to the director, was that okay? Should I have done it like this? And each time he said, or she said, don't worry about it. We're filming you tomorrow morning. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's often the case.
So I get back the next morning. I'm all dressed up. I'm ready. And they never call me. And they never call me. And they never call me. And all of a sudden, we're rapping. And I went home and I told my wife. She goes, well, what do you think? I go, maybe I got cut out of the movie. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't film me that second day. But it turned out that whatever I did on the first day,
they
liked it enough and That's they kept good. It. Yeah.
Well, was it better not knowing?
That's a good question.
Like, would you have been more nervous to say? I'm looking for the picture I have of you in the movie.
No, I can't say that it was better not knowing.
Maybe they just wanted you for your nostril hair.
Well, they got a lot of that. As a matter of fact, if there is going to be a SAG award for me, it's going to be most nostril hair.
I'm still looking for the picture. I know I have a picture of you on screen. Ah, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
We're glad to have you here so we can talk about my movie career.
Look at that.
Whoa.
That's confidence.
Look at big nostrils.
There. No.
Oh, I'll send you that. I'll send that to you.
Very confident.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
But, you know, what I was impressed by was because you're a very jovial, kind of fun guy.
I think so.
And this character wasn't that.
He was frustrated.
He was frustrated, and he was a little angry, and he was kind of not really super nice. And I thought, I think the essence of acting is to be able to not be yourself.
Right.
And you did it, like, on your first try out.
In the audition, he did.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it showed in the audition.
Now, how much work do you do, like, with actors who are doing auditions and that sort of thing? Do you do a lot of casting work?
I do casting a lot. Not so much being a director or producer, but my portfolio is growing that way, too. But I do casting, too. A little extra money.
Yeah,
and I enjoy it, too, because I get to watch what they're doing and sort of know what they're doing wrong, but really I'm not supposed to tell them what they're doing wrong, but I can see it.
Well, I know what it was like for me. What was it like for you, your first time on a movie set? And I'm guessing it wasn't in a cafe at a retirement home in Palm Desert.
No, and I've done some TV, too. Film, I don't get nervous at all for film. Theater more so because it's not all dependent on yourself. You're dependent also on the other actor. So if the other actor makes a mistake and jumps two pages, then it's up to you to think, well, should I take it from there and can I remember it from there because I had gotten no clue, or how can I bring it back and then not throw off the other actor? So it's a...
And that's all going on in your mind while you're supposed to be talking.
It's amazing what goes on in your mind with theater. But with film, I just wasn't nervous. I just felt really comfortable and just wanted to keep my technique going and wanted to take more acting classes.
Did you get over the nerves early on, or do you still feel that all the time?
I feel it on film. Like I'm filming something right now that's called Murder Tango, and I can tap dance and I can do some dance because I'm trained in singing, dance, and acting. Like, you know, maybe, I don't know if some people call it a triple threat, but I don't think so. But
future EGOT award.
Right, when I grow up, right? I had to do a tango and learn a tango and the choreography and everything. And once you hit 40, choreography becomes more difficult. The younger guys, they're there, and choreographer will show them some choreography, and they say, got it. And I say, can you show it to me one more time? Okay, another time, and one more, please. So I was nervous about doing the dance, but it really came out good, and I'm really pleased with myself. So, yeah, you still, things like that that I'm not real comfortable with.
When was the first time you saw your name on a movie credit?
Oh, my God, I don't know if I remember the movie. I think it was a movie called Therefore I Am, and it was, I played a psychologist. right. I can
typecasting.
Go for those. I know, really.
Typecasting.
But I think they fell in love with the idea that I knew what all the medications were and I could pronounce them anyway.
And you might be able to bring some to sell.
Right, maybe so. Some of the pretty good stuff. So that was the first time that was really really exciting because I played a psychologist and the woman was a schizophrenic and she was going through different things. And it actually was really able to draw on my experiences, which an actor should if they can.
And were you at the point where that was pretty cool?
Yeah,
your name
I mean,
there?
My God, yeah, that never really stops in a way.
Yeah,
I do. I'm a little vain. I do like seeing myself on the big screen. It's just really neat, you know. Want to go out and is that really me?
What's your favorite work so far?
Stuff that I've done. You mean theater, commercials, or anything? What I like best?
Anything.
Well, I think I've enjoyed. I have two seasons of Always Here. It's a dark comedy, and I have that on. It's on. What do you call Prime? Amazon Prime.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really difficult role to play because I played a man who was sort of, he was a child, there was a child inside him, and he was constantly had to go from different ranges of emotions, from anger to crying to sad to happy. And he had to please three different women, his sister, his mother, and his girlfriend, which was 20 years older than him. And so to be able to go back and forth and do that like from 0 to 60 miles an hour, that was probably something for me.
Was that the most challenging role?
Yeah, that was pretty challenging. And I do like to be challenged.
So after a role like that, obviously you had to put a lot into that, to all the different emotions and everything. Is there a recovery period for you afterwards?
Depends on how much you rely on method acting.
And how much do you rely on method acting?
So probably 50%, and I do other techniques. That's a good question, because you have somebody, method acting, you really immerse yourself completely.
You kind of have to live the character,
24
right?
24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so, like, for instance, Jared Leto and Christian Bale, two very tough actors. The other actors who work with them, they don't like working with them because, for instance, Jared, when he did, I think it was Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and he was the Joker.
Yeah, he basically sent gifts and not so nice things to some of the fellow actors, like even poop in the mail. And they did not, like, he was pretending to be this horrible character, despicable character. So he took it to the nines.
Yeah.
But I like to mix it that way. Like a lot of like Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, they all do like maybe 50% method acting and then their other acting techniques. And I also draw on my psychology experience.
What are the other acting techniques that you draw on aside from method acting?
Mainly I go from just method acting and my organic ability to keep my psychology and bring that in. Research the character, and I like to bring in the human condition and everything that I've learned in psychology, and I find that works best for me.
I would think that'd be pretty important.
It works best for me.
It must really give you an incredible leg up, because so much of acting is being able to let go of your own traits and adopt these other traits. And as a in your business, you see so much of the human condition. You know, and so much range.
Oh, yeah.
You're exposed to so much. So it gives you an opportunity to borrow. I mean, you must probably, I'm sure your parents, your patients wouldn't appreciate it, but I'll bet you steal from them sometimes.
there's been a lot of situations I wouldn't want it to. I mean, I wasn't in a movie like this, but I had one patient in my internship back at UVA. And it was a woman, and she came up to me, and she said, she said, I think I have cervical cancer. And she opened up her legs. She was a skirt and she had no underwear on. It's like a Sharon Stone type of a thing. And so I said, you know, I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to use that.
Does it look like it to you?
Yeah, yeah, really. I said, I'm not that kind of a doctor, so you might want to, you know, close things up here.
Everything I'm working on with you is from the neck up, so.
10 minutes later, he was like, no, I don't think so. We're going to stop this
now.
Wow. Yeah. Which gets into other things. I mean, as an actor, you get a lot of people that send you pictures, males, men, and women, and they send you pictures that really they shouldn't be sending to you.
Is there any role that
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. No. And it was just a headshot. Is there
the only dick pic I've ever sent is a picture of Richard Nixon. That's
pretty good. I never heard that
good
before.
I like that.
I may steal that. That's
free.
Pretty good.
Is there any role that you've gone into and you've read the script and you've thought, this is going to be hard?
Or maybe that I wasn't right for it. I have three agents. I have one in London, I have one in L.A., and I have a manager in L.A. And I was given to go to an audition, and when I got there, I mean, I'm like every bit of like 5'8 to 5'9, like 155 pounds. I've been that for years. And all the guys were like 6'2 and really big. And I had thought that it was about a football game, but I thought that I was going to be playing, but it was a football player. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't get the role. But I thought, I mean, these guys were like good looking and big, huge. And I'm saying, well, you know, so that's something that I was not good for. But
that, was that one where you had to talk to your agent and go,
I thought that you could fit in, you could do it and everything. I think that sometimes an agent will just send you on something if they think they can maybe make some money off you.
Right. Yeah. It's like they have an idea of what this role is going to pay.
Oh, yeah. And I don't like wasting my time because you got to memorize lines sometimes at the last minute. And they've been treating actors pretty poorly. It's changed a little bit now, but they treat them pretty badly. And you have to memorize the lines and the next day produce that. And you have to. I do have a good memory, but it's tough.
And every audition, I mean, like, if you're going to an audition where you know you don't stand a chance, you're missing an audition where you do.
Exactly. It's tough.
So, I mean, how difficult is it for you? You know, you have a manager and two agents, and all of their jobs are to make money off of you. So they must be pitching a lot. I mean, you must.
Yeah, I'm busy. And I sometimes have to say, you have to stop the auditions now because I want to have a personal life, too. And it's tough, but yeah, I go on a lot of auditions, and I probably get like 50% of them, which is really good.
That's really incredibly high. Yeah,
really
average.
Really lucky.
That puts you in the Hall of Fame.
The audition Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
Sometimes I have to say I really need to go on hold for a little while because then some of the movies, if they all come through, then you got to juggle that, and the directors get mad at you because you're not available, and you promised it to them, and if you signed a contract, I've been sued before.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you couldn't do the... Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm sorry, yeah. My schedule doesn't work out.
Especially that's why I'm not really doing as much theater right now, because you go through theater, and that's a big commitment, and a nice film or TV show comes up.
Tell me about the TV that you've done.
So, I'm not a celebrity, so I've had some small digs on... Do No Harm, which was a sort
small
of a,
digs. He said small digs. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
that
make
was
sure
clear.
You, thank you pronounce.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't sure
make
what kind
sure
of roles
my,
he was trying out.
I do lots of accents and make sure the wrong accent didn't come out there. So, Do No Harm. He was a psychotic doctor. I've been on Blue Bloods. I've been on Orange Is the New Black. I've been.
Oh, I'm looking at
the Americans.
So you worked with Tom Selleck on Blue Bloods.
Yeah, but I wasn't in the scene with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm not in the scene with somebody special.
We're on set with him?
Because I was on A Star Is Born, but I didn't get to work with... I met Lady Gaga, and I met, Bradley Cooper, but did not get to be in the scene with them. So that happens a lot, too, because I'm not in the big blockbusters. I'm not a celebrity, so I'll get like a small little thing. Yeah. But I get the big leads in the independent films.
But you've worked with some Sylvester Stallone...
Yeah.
William Shatner.
Yeah, he's Wait, something else. I don't know.
Tell me about that.
Was that?
I don't know if I can.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan. So
yeah, but,
you tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could get sued for it. I mean, he was nice to me. He was nice to me. Let's put it that
way. What was the project?
Senior Moment.
The one he did out here with, who was the lead?
The woman.
No, it was Jean Smart.
Yeah.
And it was Christopher Lloyd. I was in that movie as well.
Yes, yes.
So we have on IMDb page credit together.
There you go. See that? We got a lot in common.
Yeah. William has a reputation for being pretty easy.
No, I don't think he's
set.
Nice to. I don't think he's nice to work with.
He's tough. And he's hard on the director.
We're not going to get him on the podcast.
Probably not.
Could we get his hair?
He might go on the podcast.
No, he has a policy. He doesn't do podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got tired of being asked a lot. I mean, the guy's 94.
Yeah.
I think he's, he's kind of...
entitled in a way.
I think at 94, we can all be cranky and everybody gets a pass. I mean, you're not 94 and you're cranky and we give you a pass, Mr. McMullen.
You guys are something else.
You were in Creed. Uh-huh. What was your role there?
So, I played like a security guard, bringing people in. I think I had like two lines or something like that. But I did get to meet Sylvester Stallone, and he's one of the nicest actors. He treats everybody equally. He takes time out to talk to extras, supporting roles, no matter how big their supporting role is. And it wouldn't be anything without you guys. Every morning he starts out that way and is so encouraging and a really nice person to work with.
Is there a different feeling on set when you've got a set with Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan as opposed to maybe one that doesn't have one of the huge big names? Is there a feeling on the set?
The only thing is, if you're in a bigger movie, the food is better.
Craft service is a lot better
treatment that way. Yeah. But not really. More people involved, there's more cameras involved. You may not have to do your lines three times over because you have to do it for each different angle of the camera, and they've got different angles on you automatically.
And was Shatner the only one who said, "Don't look me in the eyes"?
Not to me.
No. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't?
No.
You sound a little defensive.
I'm a little defensive. Love the chat. We're going to take a quick break because we have to say thank you to the McCallum Theater, our presenting sponsor. Go to McCallumTheater.org, and here's a word from the good folks at one of the best theaters in the entire world.
The McCallum Theater's 2025-26 season is on sale now, featuring audience favorites and expanded programming with more than 20 brand new shows, including 7 Broadway shows with 4 desert premieres. Highlights include a robust offering of holiday events and a great lineup of classical, dance, comedy, cabaret, and more. The McCallum entertains, educates, and enriches the Coachella Valley through world-class performances at the desert's premier performing arts center. We kick off the season on September 10th with the Righteous Brothers. John Lovitz brings his comedy to the McCallum on September 13th, Mexican regional vocalist Camila Fernandez is in concert on September 14th, and on September 21st, comedian Monique Marvez brings her smart, sexy, and self-aware humor to the stage. Tickets are on sale now at McCallumTheater.org or by calling the box office at 760-340-2787. Your entertainment, your theater, the McCallum Theater.
Thank you, McCallum Theater. We are back with Steve Ciceron, who is one of the hardest working actors in this valley and all over the place. You said you're just in L.A. You have an agent in London, so you must do some overseas work.
Right. So I got back not too long ago about shooting in Berlin and also in Stockholm.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting.
And what were those projects? Tell us about those.
So in one, I was an English professor who had witnessed a crime committed, and then somebody was after me. In Mexico, I played a detective and was trying to track down some drug lords and all. And what one was left? And the other one, I think I played. It was a horror movie, which I'm loving. And I was at a party, and they were killing people. There was less and less people around. That somebody was coming after me, and they wanted. American.
Not a very good party.
It was a scary party.
That's not the
and
best
so,
party.
I mean, and I like, because I can do the American accent, obviously, and I could change it from Texan to Bronx, New York.
I'm going to put you on the spot because you say you do a lot of accents.
But some I can't do. Like, for instance, the English accent, I have to hear it first before I can do it.
Oh, so
I come out like I'm Indian. Oh, you're so... For some reason. But I have to think of Peppa Pig in order to get my English accent through.
All right, can Peppa you do... Pig. You said you mentioned Texan, and you did the Hopalongs to Gots... Mm-hmm. and that's sort of a country.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want a southern, I don't know. I can't even think of what I would say, but I like that on you. It really looks good on you. And if you could show me a little bit more, ooh, I'd be really, really excited about that.
Should have been
that
here for our last guest.
That was nice.
She would have shown him a little bit more.
She yeah would have.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Sorry you missed out on that.
Did you have her phone number?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Her name is Marianne Halpin, and she's terrific.
She's so nice.
You know Marianne.
I do know her. I try to pride myself on knowing most of the people in the valley. I know so many singers. There's a lot of singers out here.
In the there valley? Are a lot of. Who are some of your favorites?
I don't know if that's fair because there's so many nice people that I like, and if I say that,
then
they may not
be
like
mad
me.
They'll
yeah
be mad at you.
Maybe they'll go on my YouTube channel and say something nasty or something. You
no
know? Right?
Don't you hate that?
Or they might leave a comment on this episode, which might be our first comment on out of 115 episodes.
I comment on all of ours.
Oh, you do? No, I mean in the YouTube.
I haven't found the YouTube.
Well, maybe sure they'll send me a sex picture and I get in trouble like I'm trafficking something or whatever. Who knows?
Okay.
You do have to worry about stuff like that
these
days.
Yeah, you do. I've had to put people with a cease and desist and yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you've
I know where
stalkers
you live and everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did I look familiar?
It was actually the women are worse.
Oh, okay.
The guys are nicer. The women are really tough, you know. Women scorned, you know what they say.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned earlier that you're still you're taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you've kept up regularly through your career?
Yeah, pretty much, unless I'm like going through a really busy, busy spell. So when like during the pandemic, I really got to catch up on a lot.
And is it just fine-tuning, or do you recognize at the end of a project maybe, oh, this is something I'd like to get better at?
I think it's fine-tuning and keeping up with being organic and being in touch with yourself and remembering some of the exercises, because sometimes you just do it and you just go through the motions, and you don't want that to happen.
What are some of the exercises that you find most useful?
I think how you can try to bring in something from your own experience, like if you have a crying scene, and how to try to bring in, what one you're going to bring in, and it depends. Some of them you can't get out of once you're in it.
Do you have any problem crying on screen?
No, as long as I know, have some ample time to think about it. Like if you asked me to cry now, I probably couldn't do it, so I have to think about it. And it's different. Some days I might need a different situation than another one.
Well, you wouldn't cry now, but once you hear the episode...
Well, after listening to you, I think I'm going to cry. No, I'm only kidding.
You'll be in tears. What did I do to my career?
I can show you that picture of Randy's nostrils again. That might...
That made me cry.
It made Randy cry. Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Are you taking any classes locally now?
Currently, no.
No?
No.
We saw Terry Ray today, as a matter of fact.
He's great. And I think
lunch.
He also offers classes.
He does. Randy's just signed up for your. This is your guy. Second class with.
That's actually how this all
and it's
started.
And also locally, there's Dan Gauthier, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Locally, there's some good. So you don't have to go to L.A.
Good. When you take a class, do you go to Dan or do you go to
I
LA?
Did go to Dan for a little while, but I'm in L.A. so often that it's easier for me to actually do it in L.A.
Right, you mentioned that you're really loving the horror genre.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on it, I mean, because you are such an affable person.
I know, I love people.
And I mean, like, because of your background and the work that you did, you're clearly focused on helping people,
mm-hmm.
which is the antithesis of usually the villain in the horror movie.
Right.
They're not out to fix you.
Right, 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 for sure.
So what is it just the fact that it's so deliciously different?
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's challenging for me because it's not me. And if I can make people say, oh, my God, you're really horrible. That was horrible. I hate you. Wow.
That's good.
Really, that's an achievement to make people see me differently because I want to bring the character to life. And if I can't bring a killer or somebody sinister to life, then I'm not worthy of that role.
You know? I think that is the mark of a truly great actor is when you watch that role where they're playing someone who's totally despicable. And then it leaves you with that feeling for them. I remember the first time I interviewed Gary Oldman.
Oh.
I could not stop thinking about his character in Air Force One. And he was so despicable and such a horrible person. I'm like, dude, I have really hated you for a long time.
Right, it happens.
And he was laughing about it, and he said, well, you know, I just kind of sunk my teeth into that role. And
he was so good in that.
He did a lot of method acting, probably.
I would assume. I mean, yeah. But he too is a chameleon, and you're very much a chameleon.
I think
so. You play radically different parts. Yep. And it's really fascinating.
I played from a psychotic killer to being in something called the Philadelphia Experiment. I had to go to Philadelphia for that. A historic figure. You go back and forth. Comedy roles. Different kinds of killers. Yeah.
Is there anything you haven't done yet that you want to?
Pornography. No.
On episode 2.
Well, I know a guy.
Well, I did have to do... They do have... I've done nudity on screen, but they always have an intimacy coordinator for that.
To make sure it's done tastefully or that you feel safe doing it?
Tastefully, that feel comfortable and it's done safely and they're not being overly gratuitous. You know, sometimes you might have a director
Just as gratuitous as you wanted them to be.
I mean, I think sometimes it's in order and sometimes I've seen some films like that movie that we saw with... what was that called? Amora?
The one, Anora.
Anora. Yeah. I think they might have been a little bit too much there.
Oh, it was just totally gratuitous. Yeah. Totally gratuitous. Yeah.
So what was that like first time?
Yeah, were you nervous?
You're walking on
set. That and learning the tango.
And then I had to do the tango naked.
Naked. Right, right. And of course, backside is a lot easier than front side, you know.
Have you done full frontal nudity?
Yeah, but it was very brief.
Very brief.
Backside, they all seem to want the backside. So you get to the
well,
backside.
I guess, yeah. Congratulations. No,
I guess that could be in order, you know.
I've been typecast.
Right. I'm somebody's, but it doesn't happen that much because I want to make sure it's not gratuitous. But they do usually ask you when you're going on an audition, if it's in there, they say, are you okay with nudity? So I would say yes, but I don't want to say then with qualifications if you get... Yeah.
Oh, you mean my nudity.
Oh, right. I'm okay with anybody else.
I love nudity.
Anybody
I love
else?
Other people's nudity.
If the director wants to get nude, yeah, that's
that'll make
that's
me
cool.
feel a lot easier.
Yeah. Can you get nude also while I'm nude?
Were you a movie buff growing up?
More old movies, because my mom used to watch old movies, so I've seen some of the really old ones. Singing in the Rain... And that one that's pretty famous, Mommy Dearest.
Oh, yeah.
And one more, and I can't remember the name of it. Maybe one of the two of you were. It was Betty Davis and... who works with Betty Davis a lot? They hated each other.
Oh, well, it was the subject of Mommy Dearest.
Right.
Yeah, Faye Dunaway.
No.
She played it.
Oh, not Faye Dunaway.
Who was it?
I see the face.
Betty Davis, and they had an arch rivalry. I can't believe that we can't think of it, the three of us.
No, and she was famous for whipping her kid with a hanger.
Yeah,
right.
Don't put your clothes on hangers. I'm going to feel so stupid when he tells me the name.
If only there were a device where we could...
Yeah, we had a computer in our pocket.
And you're here, too, and you haven't thought of it for us.
Yeah.
There's four men here.
Producer.
Yeah. Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford.
Jeez.
No, it wasn't Joan Crawford.
She says, I wish I wasn't in a wheelchair. And then the other one goes, but Blanche, yeah.
Such a great scene.
That's a great line. So I've watched a lot of movies.
Now.
You couldn't come up with Joan Crawford?
I know.
Seriously?
I mean,
go
right?
back 10 minutes and then you'll hear him enter that edit.
Yeah, he's going to edit
it.
It's Joan Crawford.
So
you,
he sounds
you
like
idiot.
He knows. Oh my God, that's too funny. You should do that. It'll be.
I should. Let me just record it now. Oh, Joan Crawford.
No, that wasn't it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's funny.
So a lot of movies like that. A lot of older movies.
Do you? What's the biggest lead part that you have played in a film so far?
Well, most of the independent films, I am the lead.
You are the lead.
Yeah, in Murder Tango, I'm playing a detective. Who, there's three women who are sort of like, they have superpowers, and there's revenge involved that they kill men who have hurt women before. But they're all sort of in love with me, and they're trying to, you know, and one of them turns into a hag, and then she just comes after me. But, yeah, I mean, I play in independent films, I pretty much get the lead. Usually.
Anything that you have...
But I'm okay with small lines, too. I'm okay. I'm not a diva.
There's no small lines, it's just small actors.
Yeah. Yeah,
did somebody say that?
Somebody did say that. But they were talking about The Wizard of Oz.
I thought I just made it.
Because in some of the stuff I've done here, some of the stuff I've done here locally, which I like because I don't have to be in L.A., I may not have the lead. I might have a supporting role, but it's just fun being with them because I love to laugh, and we laugh all the time on the set. And they let me get away with it, whereas in L.A. they might get annoyed a little bit more, but they let me laugh more here on the set.
You've won a number of Best Actor Awards here in the Valley, haven't you?
Yeah, three Indie Awards, but mainly a lot of stuff at film festivals, and I have them in my office
And you keep them all in one place?
Yeah, I have shelves built for it. And yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
What's coming up for you?
So we're still doing Murder Tango. I have.
Where are they shooting that? Is that being
both LA and here?
And here, yeah, okay, cool.
Which I like too. And in LA, because if it's a day shoot, I can go down and I'll come back in a day. But if it's longer than that, then they have to write into the contract that they're going to put me up in a hotel. But usually, because I'm not a celebrity, it's going to be like a Motel 6. But I'm okay as long as I have a bed.
That's still $300 a night. So.
It probably is. I don't know. But what else?
Remember, they put two other guys with them. It's uncomfortable.
It's $100 a night.
It's $100 a night.
One in the bed and the other one rolled over, and the other one said, roll over.
It's like that scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's no, pillows.
I love that. And she says, well, I won't go into that. But, so I've got that going on. I'm also doing Fox and Fury, which I'm sort of playing a Sonny and Cher knockoff entertainers. I'm supposed to sing horrible, and then I get caught.
And who's your Cher?
That would be Darcy Daniels.
Yes, of course, Darcy. Yeah.
So they have to tell me not
Fox
to
and
sing
Fury that. So Sonny Valazzi has produced a number. Mm-hmm. He's a guy I think he's from Philly.
He's from Philadelphia.
He's a Philly guy. Yeah. And he produces a lot of independent stuff out here. And in fact, it raises the... We should invite... Sonny would be a very podcast guest, would Tony Pomponio.
Oh, my God. All of them. They're really good and fun guys to be with, especially the way they have that Italian delivery. They're a lot of fun. And they let me laugh on the set.
Don't you guys improvise a good bit of the lines?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah, a lot.
Now,
it's comedy, you could do that.
Yeah. And you get to play off of, and they're all right. They're all guys.
You just have to be careful not to go on too long,
right,
with that. And your improv has to be appropriate.
It's got to kind of be being.
Well,
being,
yeah, I
being.
Mean that's the hard thing about comedy is you have to be prompt and you have to know your cue, and you have to, if you miss that, it's not going to be funny. So it's pretty key.
You said something earlier as I watch being new in all of this, and I watch newer people in the industry. There's always milestones that are really exciting to them. Finding an agent. The first time that you got an agent, was it somebody you found? Was it somebody who found you?
When I first started, I couldn't find anybody, and then they found me. And then that particular agent I got rid of and looked at again. Somebody else came to me. I've been very lucky getting agents.
But was it... Did it
most of the time
seemed pretty cool the first time an agent called you and
said...
Well,
yeah, because getting an agent is so hard. A lot of other actors say, I need an agent. How do I become SAG? And nothing's easy. But, that felt really cool. And since I can get agents, I'm lucky.
That's
and
really
to have
cool.
three, basically.
Yeah. You know, I've got none. He's got three.
We'll work on that. We'll talk about
it. He might share one of those with you.
Yeah, the one he fired.
The guy in London. They're always looking for... There are a lot of nostril-forward characters in London.
It does seem that there are periods of time that they look at as, okay, I'm starting to make it. These little things start to happen. The SAG card, the agent, those kind of things. Is there anything so far in the industry, theater, movie, TV, that you haven't done that you really want to do before you...
No, I'm also in equity, so I have the theater too. Anything I haven't done... I can't think of it, but there's always a role that I look at and say, oh, well, that would be really cool. I haven't thought of that before, and I would like to do that.
In theater, what is your favorite kind of stuff to do?
I like musicals.
Yeah?
I've done off-Broadway. I've done Enemy of the People, Amadeus, and stuff like that. Wow. But musicals are fun because, again, I like to laugh, and so I can get away with laughing more. With things like that. Otherwise, all right, let's wait for Ciceron. He's got another laughing fit. So I don't annoy people as much if I stick with it.
You sing?
I do.
Yeah.
But not like Darcy Daniels or some of the other ones. I can keep a tune and do what I need to do and get through the scene and get through the song, but I don't consider that a strong point for me.
But you sing, you dance.
Yeah.
You do comedy, you do
just
horror.
Choreography takes a little bit longer now. Yeah. But yeah.
Have you written stuff for yourself?
Well, I am writing and helping some people write now. I write well, but it's very time consuming and I just don't have a lot of time, so it's tough. But I could write a script for myself.
You must not have a lot of time. I mean, you're always.
I really don't.
Of course, we're friends on Facebook, and you're always posting, like, I've got this coming up, and I'm like, my God, this guy, does he ever sleep? Does he get home?
I don't think he does.
Sometimes it's an hour and a half, sleep, but I pay for it like 2 days later.
But that's the life, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a successful working.
I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. No time for a real social life, but that's probably why I'm not, married or anything again.
That's why we brought you in here. Get you into a bar for a few minutes.
That's right. You could find a potential partner. Well, they're not open, so that's going to be. But in a few minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds like
me.
I found an agent.
You think Steve's going to be your agent?
Well, if his career hasn't hit the bottom completely.
Are you wishing that on me?
No. I
think his
career I'm not wishing you to be my agent either.
I think his career is far from...
I don't want to be an agent, and casting is just something I also do. But yeah, I'm really filled up to the brim.
So what's that process? I wasn't really asking you to manage. It's okay.
But to find an agent is difficult. A lot of people have a lot of trouble with that. And I got in SAG and Equity, and I consider myself lucky, just lucky.
Well, I assume I'd have to be in more than one.
Yeah, you'll
second
look up the criteria,
scene.
And then the initial fee to pay for that for both of them is quite expensive.
Yeah,
my agency paid.
So I'm
for
already
it.
Out of the industry.
Yeah. Well, that's
there's
the thing.
There's a fee associated with it.
Yeah, I got SAG eligible, and the producer of the film, they kind of put me over the top on that. He's like, we could, get you your membership right now, but I don't know what it's $5,000 or
it's about five or six grand.
He's like, you're going to make about $1,000 off this movie. He's like, you're like, do you really want to go in the hole for a SAG card, or do you just want to hold on to your eligibility? And then if you do more stuff, so it is expensive.
Yeah, and a lot of people.
Equity's expensive.
Yeah, they both are. And a lot of people, and then you've got to pay monthly depending on how much work you have, too. So the more work you do, the more you're going to pay.
You must be paying through the nose. You're working
your
butt
off. I'm
paying a little
bit, but I make money, too. Pay the mortgage, so that's the important thing. I don't have to work a side job bartending or something like that.
I'm not asking for your address, but where's home for you in the Valley?
So it would be, I guess, North Palm Springs, they call it.
Yeah. What's the address?
It's on every bathroom wall.
If you go in here,
right under Barry,
right.
Barry
so
White's
my
ticket.
Phone number in there, too. Remind me to put it in this particular
That's how
board.
His agent gets him all the work. He just puts his phone number on bathroom wall. Like,
everywhere. The roles are interesting.
Call Steve. And you've got you're still working on this current project. What are you looking at next?
So there's going to be something coming up, which is going to be a comedy series, sort of like Schitt's Creek. But in Schitt's Creek, you had the wealthy people who moved into the dilapidated hotel. They weren't the owners of the hotel. But in this one, I would be part of a dysfunctional family that owns the hotel and some of the characters that come in and all that. So that I'm looking forward to that.
Do you ever contemplate going back to psychology? Do you ever miss it?
Well, I love having the background.
Can you still write prescriptions?
No. I wasn't a psychiatrist, so I never could anyway.
Well, this is over.
But yeah. But I mean, the education I got was just unbelievable. I'm really pleased with my education. But no, I don't think I miss trying to help people that couldn't help themselves, because that made me sad. And I'm never really clinically depressed. If somebody dies, I'm going to get depressed, but I've never had a depressive day in my life where I wake up in the morning and I'm depressed and I don't know why.
Do you have interest in things like directing, producing?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit more with that now, but I really like, I don't know, maybe it's vanity. I like being in front of the camera more.
Yeah.
But I do some of that. I've done more of that. And maybe in the future.
I have a 13-year-old granddaughter who's a theater kid, and she called me a couple of months ago and wanted to ask about acting, which is pretty funny.
That's
but
cool.
She said, I go, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do theater, TV, movies? She goes, not theater. And I go, why? And she goes, not enough people will see me.
Whoa.
And I thought, well, there's the TikTok
vanity,
generation.
Wow.
Wow.
I want millions and millions
How
of people
about
seeing
that?
Me.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And I'm like, I was pretty happy that 50 people saw what I did. So.
From the mouths of a babe.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
Very much so.
Yeah, but they've been out here, and Patrick's taken them to the studio and gotten that.
Where's she from?
They live up in Sacramento. Twin daughter, a granddaughter's up in Sacramento. They're both involved in
theater. Are they going to move down here?
No. It's 190 degrees every day here.
Oh, nonsense.
And it's only 140 in Sacramento.
But you go from air-conditioned house to air-conditioned car to air-conditioned destination.
Correct.
And get through the summer. Or you go to Berlin or Alaska to film.
I haven't gotten a lot of offers.
Hey,
so
you're just starting
here.
Out.
We're going to get you that agent, and then you're going to be... Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
I appreciate that. It took us 115 episodes to get here.
I will put your number on the bathroom wall as well.
right next to Steve's.
Right next to mine.
Right next to Steve.
So maybe you'll get like spillover effect.
Not too close to Steve, because I won't get any calls.
No, you get spillover.
I don't want to hear about spillover in the restroom.
Steve's not available. We're going to have to go for Randy. I have to do the Randy part.
So. I can't tell you how many people told me you were going to be a blast to have on this episode.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. And you were.
You are. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it because I know your schedule is super busy. So
thanks. It really worked out. You picked out a really good day. But I'm trying to keep it low key too, right before the 4th of July.
Where are you headed next?
San Diego.
For an acting gig?
No, I do them. I do San Diego too, San Francisco, you name it. But family, I've got family there.
It's a good place to be.
Oh, yeah. It's great weather, too. You just wake
love
up every
that
day.
Weather.
But unfortunately, though, they don't need a weatherman down there because it's like 65 degrees every day. So
they have weather people down there. I'll tell you a very true story. Many years ago, I got a call from a news director in San Diego, and he's like, oh, I've seen your stuff, and they had a weekend opening. And he said, I really like your look. I'd love to have you talk to me about it. This is the salary range we're looking at. And it was 10 grand less than I was making here.
Wow, that's a surprise.
And I'm like...
But it was only weekends.
Yeah, it was weekends, but still, it's market 25.
Yeah, but you didn't need weekends. You could have taken both jobs. Just go back into the
floor. Talk about burning the candle from both ends.
Yeah, no
but
thank
the thing
you.
Is
but
San
it's,
Diego,
you know, it's kind of... They don't
that's pay, interesting. I'm shocked to hear that, because they've got a lot more money down there. But the thing is, it would be like I say, well, then you just have to find different ways of saying, it's 65 degrees today. 65 degrees today. It's sort of like Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart.
I keep telling him he should have an episode where he does everything in Celsius and doesn't tell anybody.
That'd
and
be
everybody's
horrible.
Like, holy cow, it's 47 degrees today.
Every time I wake up when I was filming in Stockholm and in Berlin, you know, and they'd say whatever it is, and I have to get out my phone. Is it hot or cold out there? I just had no
I don't
idea.
Know what that is.
I feel bad because sometimes I watch him and I get angry at him. He says it's going to be 117. Like, fuck, Patrick.
I'm going to call you up at home from now on and find out what the temperature's going to be
I'm
outside.
I'm sorry. I have nobody else to blame.
You know, I have never said fuck Randy on this podcast.
Wow.
You just did.
I say it all the time elsewhere, but I've never said it on the podcast.
Does that get edited out or anything?
No, probably not.
Because I could have used the word several times tonight.
You could have. Yeah, no, we have. It's a no-holes-barred podcast.
Would you like to just say it several times before we go?
Give us three different reads. Give us three different reads.
Three different reads.
Like
in different accents?
Give us an angry. Do you have a German?
English would be Fuch.
Fuch.
That's it.
That's it. We're going to have to be left with that version.
There we go. Well, listen, you should follow Steve on his social media
so you can
keep up with what he's doing.
And good luck keeping up with him because he's moving.
Thank you. Yeah, if they could go on YouTube, just put my name in and subscribe, that's good. Because if it comes between two actors looking for a role and one has more fan base than the other one, they're going to go for the one with that. That'll be their choice. So if they could do that, that'd be great.
Wow. Okay, so please subscribe to his YouTube channel.
I just got another little hint there, too.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I think your three or four subscribers are going to put you over the top.
My granddaughters are two of them. So.
That and your phone number on Skip Page's bar.
Got you casted, so you know it's a little uphill.
There you go.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
See?
And we did it here in the corner booth. That's little bar.
Hey, we want to thank you all for listening to this edition of Big Conversations, Little Bar. Steve Ciceron, thank you. You're delightful.
Thank you.
And again, I know you're busy, so I really appreciate you doing
appreciate
this.
It.
Randy, I know that you are not busy.
I'm not busy. But I got to tell you, I was so happy to hear some of what I thought about some of these people. Sylvester Stallone, just a hell of a nice guy. William Shatner. Tom Selleck, a hell of a nice guy.
William Shatner was nice to Steve.
Yeah, he was nice to me. They've all been nice to me. I try to overlook that with, you know, somebody's nasty, find a way to bring them around. But yeah, I was afraid. I didn't know what you were going to find on me. And you seem to be stuck on that intimacy coordinator and wanting to know more about the nudity.
Yeah, I'll be calling you later.
Did they make you wear a thing? Did you have to wear a thing?
One of them, I did have like a sock or something. Yeah. But Sometimes not.
Did they give you one? Or?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bring your own sock. You know what?
Bring your own sock. That's a low-budget production.
That's a really
We're doing nudes today. Bring your own sock. You're like, I don't know that I
want
to be
one. Really if they sock. Want frontal nudity, there's no sock. You know?
There would be with me.
On that note,
really, on that
our
note,
thanks to Skip Page gentlemen. And his team here at Little Bar, and our thanks to the McCallum Theater, our presenting sponsor. They do a great job. McCallumTheater.org. Get your tickets sooner rather than later. All kinds of great things coming up this season. And John McMullen does a great job. He's going to edit this so it actually sounds like Randy and I are intelligent. So we really do appreciate that.
So the episode might not be on for
a few
months.
It's going to be short. It's going to be very short, but it's going to be good.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be a lot of Steve. So, and remember, you can subscribe. Be sure to do that. You can find us at bigconversationslittlebar.com. Make sure that you subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Big Conversations Little Bar, recorded live at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert, California, the center of the Coachella Valley universe. This program has been presented by the McCallum Theater. Learn about upcoming performances and other community offerings at McCallumTheater.org or call the box office to purchase tickets by phone at 760-340-2787. This program is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System and is available from Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube.
Big Conversation. Little Bar with Patrick and Randy, presented by the McCallum Theater.